Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations.
This episode of Groundwire was produced on Fort William First Nations Anishinaabe Territory in Thunder Bay, part of the Robinson-Superior Treaty.
We're your hosts, Mahalat Cuff
and Julian Cooper.
Recording at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, on Treaty 1 territory, on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe peoples and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
In this episode of Groundwire,
this isn't even close to what real homelessness is. It's nothing. It doesn't even compare to it.
And so it seems the only consultation that they basically take any heed to are from those who agree with said projects that are being proposed then.
The first step to acknowledging that there are systemic issues and barriers that our youth face, and it's up to us to learn from those issues and then reach out and give a hand.
The Assembly of First Nations hosts a national circle of ceremony and healing for our spirits to send messages of hope, healing, and to prevent youth suicide from coast to coast. Then a discussion on the ways public consultation on pipeline projects are taking place in First Nations communities. Winnipeg's Indigenous Media Collective Red Rising hosts its Issue 5 magazine launch, and Winnipeg students participate in a national 5 Days for Homelessness campaign.
But first, here are the headlines.
The local grassroots Indigenous media group Red Rising is hosting a launch party for issue number 5 of their magazine, Red Rising Magazine, on the topic of Zagadewin, or love. The event will feature Indigenous artists, DJs, hoop dancers, and poetry readings from the issue. Bannock dogs will be served. Here, CQW reporter and people of interest host Stefan Doucette interviews Red Rising Collective member Charlie Crow about this event.
This one came out of a piece that from our last issue, which is Storytelling as Resistance. And Erica Violet Lee did a piece that we were blown away by, and on decolonial love. And so we initially projected that this, like, we were going to save that piece and then wait for the next one and have something, do the issue on decolonial love or just love. But, you know, the piece was so good that we were like, well, we have to showcase it now. So, but then eventually it just stuck love. So so we have a lot of good pieces, actually. It ranges, you know, different, I guess, spheres of love.
Mm. Can you talk about, like, maybe a few pieces that you're more excited about? Or, like, I noticed that there's some pieces from, like, high school students.
Yeah, we have, like, a 12-year-old girl, too. And,
nice.
You know, young adults, too. Just basically people kind of like, you know, just, you know, different experiences and what their interpretation of love is, because, you know, it varies.
Our next headline is from CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Mayan and Jude were there with me to talk about the public talk with Albert Woodfox and Robert H. King on police brutality and incarceration, and especially in the United States. They introduced the panelists that were present at the talk, which were two ex-members of the Black Panther Party imprisoned in the United States.
Well, there are six collectives together. There is a Projection Insurgée. Jude is part of this one. Tout le Hood en parle, Montréal Nord République, La CLAC, the CUBP, and Toute Détention Politique. This is the group which I'm part of. So we all came together as individuals and also as part of those groups to organize the event, and that's it. We are a different person from that help people that were incarcerated, and we want to support prisoners that are trying to fight prisons and the oppression of the system, and we want to like bring more visibility on the struggle of prisoners and support what they are doing inside and also outside when they get out of jail.
They also mentioned their thoughts about the many videos surfacing on the internet, especially Facebook, of police officers beating down or brutalizing Black teenagers or Black people, mostly people of color.
So much of it, because I'm wondering if people are getting like desensibilized, but at the same time, I feel that there's more resistance organized around the things that, like, you know, every time there's a police killing, there's like a Facebook video, and it's like usually from somebody's car who's getting killed. So it's like very strong and very traumatizing. And I guess like that like push people to do more, organizing a resistance and be more aware, and it's a little bit in mainstream medias too. So like the discussion about police brutality is being brought forward to a certain extent, but it doesn't seem to have less police brutality.
That's it for the headlines. Stay tuned to Groundwork for more community news coast to coast to coast. We'll be right back after this.
Dressed in my finest glitter, holding tight, trying hard not to be a quitter. There's a lump in my throat every day I wake up and think maybe I just can't deliver. Think that I can't deliver.
You just heard the song Juniper by Begonia off her album Lady in Mind. You are still listening to Groundwire, a collaborative news program produced by and for community radio stations. Find out more online at www.groundwirenews.ca. Now it's time for our feature stories. In response to the ongoing national suicide crisis facing First Nations people, Assembly of First Nations, or AFN, National Chief Perry Bellegarde and the AFN National Executive, including AFN Elders, Women and Youth Council, called for a national circle of ceremony and healing for our spirits held on Friday, March 17th. Sarah Newton brings Groundwire this reports from QCCR in Liverpool, Nova Scotia.
Hi, what's he?
Hi, my name is Johnny.
Ani.
Hey, I'm Maya.
Aneen, my name is Skip Jones.
We are asking all the Indigenous people
and all Canadians to help us send a message to our young people.
You are important. You are special. You matter.
On March 17th, Assembly of First Nations members invited the public to show spiritual support in response to the ongoing national suicide crisis facing Aboriginal youth, by participating in a national circle of ceremony and healing for our spirits. Events were held across the country, such as the lighting of a sacred fire on Victoria Island in Algonquin Territory near Ottawa. National Assembly of First Nations Chief Perry Bellegarde also held space during the National Prayer Service last Friday by attending a pipe ceremony and traditional feast in his home of Fort Capel. Here now is Chief Bellegarde with more on the meaning behind the prayer.
The National Circle of Ceremony and Healing for Our Spirits is being held because we know some of our people, including our young people, are struggling. And we want to bring messages and prayers of hope and resiliency to promote life and wellness. I'm asking you to pray and perform ceremonies in a way consistent with your own beliefs, faiths, and customs. For many of us, prayer and ceremony is an important part of that path. We want everyone to join us in sharing messages of love, hope, support, and healing for our spirits. Egose, kenaskum tinawa.
In April of 2016, the northern community of Attawapiskat declared a state of emergency when 11 young teenagers tried to take their own lives within the span of 24 hours, most by ingesting pills. Of 100 suicide attempts in Attawapiskat in the year leading up to the declaration last April, almost half involved people under 25. Youth suicide rates in Canada are 5 times higher amongst Aboriginal youth, and that statistic remains consistent regardless of gender. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna spoke in support of the ceremony, stating that as a mother, she feels that the message of the prayer, "You are loved and you can also succeed," is important for all youth. A member of Ms. McKenna's staff also shared her story on Friday.
My name is Catherine Gustachian and I work at the Minister's office. I'm originally from Northern Ontario, from a small community called Attawapiskat First Nation, and the youth do desperately need help. Making our non-Indigenous youth and the people out in Canada aware of Indigenous issues is the first step to acknowledging that there are systemic issues and barriers that our youth face. And it's up to us to learn from those issues and then reach out and give a hand and understanding what is happening out there and to our youth in the north.
Also in response to last year's crisis, National Chief Bellegarde pressed for a long-term national strategy to combat Indigenous suicide. He also set out to make key strategic interventions, such as this one, to unify the country in prayer that will elevate the spirits of our youth. A bold and decisive strategic maneuver indeed, and one that is no doubt to bear rapid and impeccable fruit, because...
We are stronger with you.
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 Across Canada, students from various university campuses took part in a national action called 5 Days for the Homeless, sleeping outside in harsh March weather and raising funds for local resource programs for the homeless people. At the University of Winnipeg, three students braved the chilly weather in sleeping bags, donated blue tarps, some cardboard, and pieces of plywood in hopes of raising money for Resource Assistance for Youth, a Winnipeg youth-oriented charity. CQUW reporter Julian Cooper visited the group over the course of a couple of days to see how they were feeling as the reality of not being able to find a warm place to rest settled in.
It goes for 5 days, and it's a national campaign. It's University of Winnipeg's first time doing it. To date, it's raised just under $1.9 million for youth homeless resources. So we're donating to Resource Assistance for Youth, Ray, which is on Sherbrooke Street, and they're pretty much like a one-stop shop for all kind of resources that youth need. So you can go there and you can they can refer you for housing, and they can give you a meal if you need. They have a band, an amazing band that came and played at our coffee house. They have clinics that they do there, so it's kind of just so youth can go there and just get the resources they need, so they don't have to bounce around from facility to facility. It's all in one spot for them. And
okay, and so what's been going on here in Isadora?
So here we've set up a shelter for us that it's all from the shipping area of the school. So we have cardboard boxes, we have wooden planks. We got some tarps donated because it's supposed to rain later in the week, so hopefully we won't get wet. And so we have a shelter set up here. We've been here since Monday night. We usually sleep here. We try and study during the day a little bit, keep the area sort of busy with people so that people know what's going on. We have some signs around trying to tell a story, making people think about what we're doing, think about homelessness and the privileges that we have compared to homeless youth in the city. Just to give people some perspective on their life and other people's lives.
Okay. It looks like at the most it could fit two people. Is that correct?
We've actually expanded it. So before it was two people, we've made it a little bit bigger to make some room for Quinn, who's joining us tonight. We have some guest sleepers coming in a couple of nights. So hopefully it'll fit us three. It's pretty tight in there with our sleeping bags and stuff. But
we'll see what happens.
Quinn, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm. I wanted to do the whole week, but I had some exams at the beginning of the week, so I decided that I'd let Isadora and Anne sleep out here. But it's really important to me to do a few days. This isn't even close to what real homelessness is. It's nothing. It doesn't even compare to it.
Wake up, wake up, wherever you are. It's a cold, blustery morning for the homeless of us all. And I see some movement. This is like an insect coming out of its cocoon.
How are you?
All right. Were you warm last night?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Yeah. It's pretty warm in there. We just added that part on, though, so it's a little drafty. But, yeah, wasn't too bad.
Why don't we have your name again?
Quinn.
Quinn.
Yeah.
Well, I see some feet here.
So somebody's coming out.
Oh, my God.
Is there a number three in there?
Yep.
There
she's
is.
She's coming out.
All right, let's have your name again.
Anne Cecile. Yeah.
All right. Morning, Anne.
Good morning.
We do have another. Get your name for the recorder again.
Isadora.
Isadora. All right, how are you feeling this morning?
Stiff.
Stiff. I cannot believe. When I came around the corner, I seen some movement. And
were my legs hanging out of here?
Yes, they were. Because we're like an insect in a... three insects in one cocoon. Are you really going to be glad to get back to your real homes?
Not too bad for sleeping outside. Just for tonight, I'm sure tomorrow night's going to be a bit different.
You are still listening to Groundwire. Our next feature comes from Gunargi O'Sullivan and co-host Big Fire Women from When Spirit Whispers on CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver. They discuss with guests Carrie Coase and Gitz the way that consultation on pipeline projects is taking place in First Nations communities.
Up north in the Prince Rupert area, a big, huge deal just went down. Like millions and billions of dollars went to the Tsimshian people. They had land that was given back to them on the condition that they sign on to these pipeline agreements. So our chiefs and matriarchs were going to meetings, getting paid $350 if you're a matriarch, $500 for a chief to go to these meetings, and that they took that as consent. And then they pushed it all through the band office.
Well, and my band said that even if they mail out, say, 500 posts or emails to people that they're having a meeting, that counts as consultation, even if those people don't show up to the meeting.
Definitely. Yeah, I know the pipeline agreement that the Nishka Nation signed, we didn't have any consent at all. They just had a meeting. I went with like a lot of questions, and I'm like, I'm not in support of our nation signing onto a pipeline project in any way, shape, or form, and I want to know every single detail. And we were just silenced throughout the whole meeting.
And so it seems the only consultation that they basically take any heed to are from those who agree with said projects that are being proposed then.
Yeah, definitely. We actually have LNG liaisons and liaisons with Enbridge right now. So this is a really big catastrophe that we're dealing with up in the north. And these big, huge corporations are hiring these people for $90,000 to be on contract for a year, and they have to do their bidding. So they go to the meetings, they go to the chiefs, they go to the elders. They'll come to funerals and pay food, like buy food to bring to funerals. And, you know, they consider that to be consultation. And it's just the dirtiest politics I've ever seen. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Gitz, but it's raining havoc on us up north here.
Yeah, the consultation is pretty tricky. I remember up north in Fort McMurray, they had a, it was like, come for a ride on a bus. We'll have, we'll check out this new proposed project. And they're waiting for people, because everybody comes to the mall on Friday in Mac, like from the surrounding indigenous communities to do shopping and stuff. And all you have to do was show up with your status card. And you went for this lunch, and they gave you $150. And I asked, I was like, is this consultation, or is this just like a bus ride? And the lady's like, we're still debating on whether or not it's consultation. And I was like, it's a yes or no question. If you're taking people here, is it for consultation? And like, we don't have a lot of money up north, you know? Like, the community, like, the town itself and the infrastructure, or the industry itself has a lot of money, but on the res, you can still find poverty. So people who need an extra, like, $150 or whatever it is that they're asking for, that's what they got. But I do know that, I've heard that with the Dakota Access Pipeline, Enbridge was investing $1.5 billion. Enbridge has a lot of ties to a lot of indigenous communities in Saskatchewan and Alberta. And they were told that if they were silent while this whole entire Dakota Access Pipeline thing was going on, that when it got through, when they started the pipes, that every one of these communities would receive a bonus amount of money, which is why that a lot of communities in central Alberta, central Saskatchewan, and northern Alberta, northern Saskatchewan, that were suspiciously quiet as everything was going down.
Wow.
Because they knew that this is a part of their economy, that they have a dependency on the colonizers, they have a dependency on these industrial corporations to help keep feeding them money.
Well, Isaac Murdoch, who was supposed to call us earlier, posted that he encourages people to use clean money for powwows, and that he can't believe how many powwows some of our traditional like ceremonies are being funded by corporate businesses and mining dollars.
I think it was Kihewin. I don't know if it was Kihewin. There was a, I can't remember. We went to this powwow and legit, I don't really like the flags coming in, right? Like they do the flag song. Because those are the flags that they were flying when they were murdering our people, right? The Canadian flag, the American flag. When they were committing acts of genocide, those are the same flags that they're flying. When our kids went to the residential school, those are the same flags that were flying. You know, when they're still calling us right now, those are the same flags that are flying. But in the grand entry, they had the Canadian or the American flag, the Canadian flag, I think, the nation's flag, and the flag from industry.
Yeah.
Like, in the actual grand entry, doing the flag song and putting the flags up, I was like, wow, man, we don't even know how deeply colonized we really are.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's horrific. I mean, in where we come from, like in the north, there's Hobie for the Nishka Nation, and it's been sponsored by oil and gas corporations for the last couple of years. And everyone's like, are you going to Hobie? And I said, no, I don't believe our culture, our ceremonies, where we're singing to have another good salmon run, should be sponsored by the same corporations who wish to destroy our food source, you know? And I may seem like the only person who feels that way at times, and it's really lonely. Like, everyone else just goes to Hobie and they're singing and they're dancing and they're celebrating, but I really get heartbroken by it.
I bring the boom, I bring the thunder, Fijian a doom in the dungeon a plunder. I bring the friction, I bring the friction, I bring the fist for the lips that we split. I bring the chips and the dip and the chicken. I'll bring my whip, my new kicks and the women. Bring everything cause the sink in the kitchen. I bring the party plus I bring the party fixin'. I bring the party plus I bring the party fixin'. I bring the party plus I bring the party fixin'. The ignorance and excess, unnecessary roughness with which I kick this and let it no filter. Ragamuffin rule to abundance. I am my ninjas. Quick as a jiffy party jumping, that's the mission. All the road.
You just heard Friction by the Lytics off their 2016 album Hold On. Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up. Available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your community radio station.
Now it's time for a community radio report. Around 25 audiophiles attended Powell River's possibly first ever listening party in late February, where five short audio documentaries were played. The documentaries were produced through a Radio Meters grant received by CJMP in 2016 from the Community Radio Fund of Canada. The fund's mission is to build and improve campus and community radio for all Canadians through funding and collaborations.
The Radio Meters grant helped fund three part-time staff at CJMP Community Radio Station in Powell River, BC. The project resulted in the production of 7 months of weekly one-hour CJMP news programs, CJMP presence at loads of public events, community engagement, monthly e-newsletters, maintaining of the CJMP events calendar, the production of dozens of PSAs for community organizations, as well as internal promos and graphics, a series uptick in programming with 7 new programs, and the documentaries shared as part of the listening party.
The following excerpts from the CJMP documentaries produced through Radio Meters grant offer a testament to the diversity and local significance of community radio.
This message is for Skookum Cleaners. My name's Bill. I got a Koya plum tree over here, and she's preloaded up with fruit. I'm thinking probably ready to be harvested in the next week. So if you're interested, I hope you can give me a call. And my number is 604.
I'll get on it and hopefully get someone there soon. Thank you. Bye.
My name is Becky Burbank, and I work with the Skookum Gleaners. The Skookum Gleaners are an organization here in town that pick fruit on private properties that is not going to be picked otherwise. The fruit is divided between the owner of the tree, the pickers, and a community organization or people in town who might need fruit or want the extra fruit.
We'll basically get in touch with us through Facebook or by telephone or through the website and let us know when they have a tree that needs picking, or more than one tree sometimes. And then I put that out to our list of pickers, which is over 60 people this year, and then usually give folks about 24 hours to get back to me so that it isn't all first come, first serve. And if there's more people who want to pick than pickers that we need, then I'll just randomly draw a couple names out of the hat and then assign the pick to them. And then they work together with the homeowner to set up a time and get over there and get the tree picked.
Oh, I've seen one bear in our neighborhood, that's it.
And I haven't seen any.
I heard that...
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission released 92 calls to action in 2005, some of which were recently adopted at a municipal level in Powell River.
Reconciliation is more than just good intentions, and right now there are tons of very real concrete injustices and inequities that continue to play out in this country. And
Janet Newberry is adjunct assistant professor in the University of Victoria School of Child and Youth Care. The commission was started with funds from the Indian Residential School Settlement, with the goal of educating Canadians on the actual history of colonialism and hopes of inspiring and guiding Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal Canadians towards relationships based on mutual understanding and respect. Tracy Ellis is the manager of the Powell River Tourism Center.
If we want to look at the Truth and Reconciliation process, we need to understand that it is a process and not a cure-all, which I think there can be some misunderstanding that this is just we're going to wash our hands of all of this and walk away when it's done. And I think it's really just the very opening or starting to opening of a door.
My name is Gail Blaney. My traditional name is Chia. So I attended this school as well. So I started here in grade 3. So it's kind of odd for me at times when I sit back and think that I'm actually teaching in a school that my children and my grandchildren are now attending. We started the Legacy Project. We wanted to see something really visible that the kids could create with their own hands. And I guess the goal was not only to see something at the school that was going to stay here that the kids could come and visit, but to also put some teachings in there and have the kids learn more about their own cultural identity. And I was thinking it would be so nice for their kids to have a log drum and to be able to drum and sing at that log drum.
My name's Matthew Louis, and I'm singing because, like, my dad, when he sees me doing this, he just respects it, and like he's really shocked that I'm learning this quick from him, the teachers who taught me, and my grandpa. We came up with the idea to get the drum because this is our last year here, and we wanted to keep our culture alive and pass it on to the little kids by drumming and teaching them our culture. Once they heard that first beat, they just came over and sat down and started drumming with us.
To listen to all the radio documentaries in their entirety, visit cjmp.ca and look for Radio Meters link under the program tab.
That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced by Carly Forbes in Thunder Bay.
Hosted by Julian Cooper
and Mahalat Cuff
at CKUW. Music this week was by Begonia and the Lytics.
We also thank all of our contributors, Gunargi O'Sullivan, Janaba Dale, Omi Salma, Rahem Tula, Courtney Harrop, Gretchen King, Anna Sigather, Julian Cooper, Mahalat Cuff, and Stefan Doucette.
Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download online at www.groundwirenews.ca.